Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Monday morning, Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony in for Dan Proft. So,
hey.
How was your weekend? Did you watch the game?
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch the full of the second game. I was in bed by that time.
Oh, sure. You're just saying that.
No, I just watched.
So mom
I just watched
doesn't up, get mad.
No, I just watched up to halftime, and then I just fell off into sleep.
I know. I'm so sad about the Detroit Lions. That win.
I wanted them and the Ravens to be in the Super Bowl, actually.
I know. I thought it would be cool if Harbaugh won, you know, one brother won the national championship in football, and then the other one won the Super Bowl. But
yeah.
That's not going to happen.
No.
Now we have the Chiefs, and we have San Francisco. Remember the last time that they played?
Yeah. San Francisco almost won.
What year was that, John Anthony?
Ooh. Was that?
Let's go back to the Dream Machine. Do we have the music?
Ooh.
Remember? It was during COVID.
Oh, that's right.
And remember how happy the leaders of San Francisco were that they lost because they said the Kansas City Chiefs saved lives.
Oh,
okay,
boy.
Because they didn't have their victory parade. And they said that had they won the Super Bowl and won the victory parade, tens of thousands more people would have died. And I'm not making that
up.
Oh,
my God. We know now that's not true.
Because remember, they locked in their house. They were like the first, like, you're not coming out of your house.
Yeah. Except Nancy
all,
Pelosi.
Like, China on us.
Except Nancy Pelosi. She was in Chinatown getting her hair done. You know.
Having her, you know, ice cream out of her opulent refrigerators that she has there in her house. You know, industrial strength, because we all need that. That's just to show off.
Of course.
All right. So our legal system is out of control. I don't know where you were on Friday when you heard about this massive court judgment against our president, Donald J. Trump, by this writer. Have you ever heard of her, E. Jean Carroll?
No, never.
I had
no idea who she was until this case.
Okay, well, so in the mid-80s, and this was not a criminal,
right.
Everybody. This was a civil case. So they've had two civil cases. The first one, he was awarded $5 million, alleged, not criminally charged, a civil case for sexual abuse, not sexual assault, sexual abuse and defamation.
Yeah.
And then he made comments after the trial, like things that were probably true. I've never met her. I don't know who she is. I mean, what she claimed was in the mid-90s, in 1994, while he was married to Marla Maples, he went allegedly into the changing room.
Yeah.
In this fancy, what's it called, Berghoff? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I had it written down here, but don't let details get
a fancy department store.
Yes. Thank you very much. In New York. Or Berghoff Goodman. Thank you. And that he groped her. She claimed that he raped her. But this happened in the mid-90s.
Right.
Why do women do this? They make it so much harder for real victims out there.
Yeah.
When they wait. I mean, you're waiting 32 years to come forward.
Yeah.
Okay. So 83.3 million.
On top of the 5 million.
Yeah. And they think they're going to get their money.
Yeah.
But here's this lady. Do you know she's crazy? She has red hair. She lives in a house.
She names
called
her
the
mice.
Mouse house. And she also thinks rape is sexy. Did you see her
interview? I did see that interview on Anderson Cooper, right?
Yeah.
You don't feel like a victim.
I was not thrown on the ground and ravished. Which, the word rape carries so many sexual connotations. This was not sexual.
But I think most people think of rape it is a violent assault. It is not.
I think most people think of rape as being sexy.
Yeah.
Let's take a short break.
Think of the fantasies.
Mm. Wow.
We're going to take a quick break. If you can stick around, we'll talk more on the other side.
You're fascinating to talk to.
Wow.
Oh, Then she starts flirting with Anderson Cooper. I mean, it's so crazy. And the thing is that she couldn't recall the date, the month, the season, or the year the incident happened. She never told anyone about it, despite being, you know, publicly obsessed with her own sexuality. And trust me, this lady is obsessed with her sexuality. The dress that she was wearing, John, she claimed the dress that she said that she wears didn't exist at the time. The designer hadn't made it yet. Okay. Democrats created this law. This is what really gets me, because they can't take Trump out at the ballot. So how they're attacking him is through these lawsuits. Yeah. The Adult Survivors Act 2022, that enabled her lawsuit to proceed because statute of limitations had run up. So here, once again, they changed the law to try and take him down.
Right.
But she's like Christine Blasey Ford. She's this woman's a nut job. She is. But an absolute nut job.
I mean, I think that's the most important part right there. The antics that went on in the courtroom, the judge completely shutting down the defense and creating the law just specifically to go after Donald Trump. I mean, you talk about everything they said that Trump would be. All of these people are doing what they said he is. And I think it's going to come back to bite him in the butt.
Well, after the decision was rendered, he said, "The courts are totally stacked against me. The Clinton-appointed Judge Kaplan refused to allow Anderson Cooper, that interview we played, refused to allow that into evidence. They refused to allow her comments that she made on social media, which are so disgusting. I don't even know if we could read it. Do you know she had a dog named Vagina?
No. Oh.
Yeah. And she would talk about, I mean, I don't, I should run this by Justin before.
Yeah, I think so.
But here's the breakdown, though, of the 83.3 million. Now, I know people who've been in serious car accidents. I know people who have lost limbs. I know people that are in wheelchairs. Not even close to getting $83.3 million.
That's a lot of money.
$1 million.
And I couldn't prove that she didn't bring in the dress. There was no DNA. There was no expert. My experts were denied. Two of them were denied to come in. They didn't bring, let me bring up that Reid Hoffman funded Ms. Kaplan. And you know what we got in there? That my witness, who was her friend, who said that she is a drug addict and the drug addict is herself. That friend, I found out in there, was paid for by Ms. Kaplan's firm, and that is disgusting. That is a violation of everything I stand for, and that is why I stand with Trump.
Wow.
That was Trump's attorney, Alina Abba, right
but
after.
But isn't that key, Reid Hoffman, isn't he the co-founder of LinkedIn? I mean, they funded this. The enemies of Trump funded this. Yeah.
He's friends with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah. This is insane what's happening to our judicial system, Amy.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. We also have a text line, which, John Anthony, you are going to have to be in charge of.
I actually don't see it. I don't see it.
646-36.
I'll get Justin in a break to show me where it's at.
Yeah, 646-36, type in DA, then a quick comment. Here, by the way, is the breakdown of the $83.3 million, which is nothing to sneeze at, don't you know?
We do have a verdict. E. Jean Carroll did suffer more than nominal damages as a result of Mr. Trump's publication of these two June 2019 statements. The first amount for compensatory damages for her emotional pain and anguish is $7.3 million. The amount for the compensatory damages for the reputation repair program is $11 million. We're now moving on to the questions about whether Trump acted with malice. Remember, the questions have to be answered in the affirmative to get to a question of punitive damages. We are still waiting for that answer.
As you wait for those answers,
that Mr. Trump acted with malice. I'm sorry, Mr. Trump acted with malice in making the first of those statements. That's the June 21st, 2019 statement at 5:17 p.m. in which he denied it for the first time. And similarly, we are waiting to hear whether in making that yes, in June 22nd, 2019, he did also act maliciously or out of hatred or ill will.
I've had enough. I mean, there's, again, no evidence. She can't remember the date, time, or season that it happened. And here are some of her social media postings that they wanted to be let into court. She wrote, "There's no such thing as a slut, only sexual genius." Another social media post, "Would men have invented the chastity belts, veils, and Crocs, if women weren't just unbelievably hot, honey, you were born to seduce. I mean, this woman's not right.
Wow.
Here. Amy. She gave people, by the way, her cat was named Vagina, not her dog, but she did give people, defamation of character, she's gotten work. And she's being celebrated by the left because of her attacks on Trump.
But don't forget, Elle said that wasn't the reason why she lost her job either. Elle came out and said what happened with Trump and all that. That wasn't the reason why she lost her.
So the alleged attack in the changing room at this fancy New York shop happened in the mid-90s. She wrote a book about it. She also claimed that Les Moonves molested her too.
Yeah.
And then in 2020, Elle got rid of her.
Right.
But you're right. Elle said that they had nothing.
No.
They didn't get rid of her because of that.
Correct.
So here she is. Do you know that, she has a mouse house?
Yeah, I do. I saw it actually. The blue trees. And
It's real quick. We'll give you a little tour. Just imagine, if you will.
Some very distinguished mice live here. Kahneman lives in the kitchen. Tversky lives in the bedroom. This is my shed. And on that side are the books that most influenced me growing up. On the door are the lists of my dogs, Marky, Fortuna de la Spunky, Heidi, Tits, Bloody, and Hepburn.
She had a dog named
The streams and the rivers were dry. And it so horrified me that I came out and started painting the rocks blue to indicate that there was once a river here. And then after I got done painting the rocks, I just sort of walked over here and then did that tree and then did that tree and then I did this tree. And then pretty soon I'd done this whole forest.
She lives in upstate New York.
Woo.
She went to Indiana University and then she went a little bit crazy. It's so Christine Blase Ford all over again.
Yeah.
But with just Trump now instead of Brett Kavanaugh. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. Let's go to Mike in Yorkville. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, John and Amy.
Good morning.
Hey, there's been some reporting that I think you guys are missing about that case, that the judge and the attorney for that lady have a professional mentoring relationship, which should actually jeopardize that case on an appeal automatically.
Well, they didn't disclose that, Mike. It wasn't disclosed either.
Yes. So far, that looks like if you're hiding a fact like that, now it shows you have bias. But our judicial system is actually going to correct that issue? I doubt it.
That's true.
Yeah.
This is Trump.
And Trump is going to appeal both decisions. But can you imagine $83.3 million?
Ooh, no.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of
money. Imagine how much a judge could potentially get. Be getting out of the whole deal too, you know.
Yeah.
But most people look at it and say, "No, he's not taking any money." Of course not. They never do.
Yeah.
That's true. All right. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to David in Winnetka. Good morning, David. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, the proof in the pudding should just simply be when she walked in the courtroom and everybody. Do you remember when poor Trump was trying to, you know, defend himself feebly, mind you, in this whole thing, because it was just so ludicrous? And he goes, "Well, she's just not my type," you know. And you're going, "Oh my God, there's no way in a million billion lifetimes that ever happened." It's insanity.
Yeah.
No evidence whatsoever.
And Amy, this to defend Trump was defending himself, and to call that a defamation, basically calling her a liar, defamation. You can't defend yourself now? Is that what this court in New York is telling us?
Yeah. All of that evidence, all the things, the items, the social media posts, the Anderson Cooper, none of that was admissible in court. So he had his hand tied. They were ready to get him.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information to start your day. It's Chicago's Morning Answer. On AM 560, The Answer.
Hey, business owners, is your business and money in good hands? Does your bank invest in your success? Hi, Mike Gallagher here, letting you know that when you need a relationship bank, Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. I love these guys. Not only do they have expansive industry experience, a strong financial track record, but they're also highly capitalized for strategic growth. That's so important. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. They know what it means to grow a business by designing solutions that are right for you and only you. These are real people. They're ready to help. So reach out to my friends at Signature Bank. Make the call today, 773-467-5630. 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Your business could be Signature Bank's next success story. Go online, signaturebank.bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Signature Bank.
Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Welcome back. Good Monday morning. Some sunshine today, huh?
Yeah.
That gold, that thing in the sky that no one's seen for a long, long time. We had some peaks of sunshine. We drove back from Iowa yesterday. My son, today's his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
So happy birthday to, what do we call him? Eli. He's 19 years old, so we drove out to Iowa City just to have dinner with him on Saturday. Yeah. And he got initiated into his fraternity. He's nice. A Phi Psi now. It's official.
Yeah.
And on the way back, we saw some sunshine.
Oh.
It lasted for two glorious minutes. And then the clouds came back in.
But you're getting that fresh mountain air, though.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, so before we close the loop on this, I wanted to say something because a lot of people were texting in about E. Jean Carroll. Like, why did it take so long? And I know everybody handles death differently. Mm-hmm. I know that everybody handles attacks differently.
Yeah.
In 1992, I was attacked. He didn't rape me. I wasn't raped. Yeah. But I remember exactly where I was heading southbound on Mountain Street. Here's the deal. I was on a bike, and there was this guy in Tucson who would ride around with a T-shirt on and no pants.
What?
And he had, you know what, down there, like a pocket rocket, and he would knock people over and try to rape them. So what are you looking at me funny for?
I mean, that's insane.
Oh, well, that's Tucson. I mean, jeez. I don't know. So I fought back. I got away. But the first thing that I did was go to police. I couldn't get to the cops fast enough to give a description, like to tell them every single detail, because I was trying to be so vigilant and remember what he looked like. Did he have hair on his legs? Is it blah, blah. And, you know, you're shaken up. It's not. But that doesn't define what happened.
Right.
But this woman clearly. Yeah. I think somebody hired her to say, hey, you know, you wrote this book. Let's further this lie and take it to the ninth degree.
Yeah, because some people don't report. I won't say who, but I have a very close person to me that was raped and they didn't report it. And they don't want to. They just simply don't want to. They just want to move beyond that point. And
I know. Why is there shame associated with that? I don't understand.
That's a good question. I think that's something you'd have to, you know, pose to the person that's been raped, you know. It does happen. It does happen. And you know, I saw firsthand how devastated this person was. So it's heartbreaking.
Was it somebody that she knew?
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times the rape is somebody that you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And then other times it's completely random.
Yep. Someone they knew.
All right. Well, let's take some more phone calls. Let's go to Rich in Indian Head. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Good morning, John. How are you doing
today?
Hey,
what's up, brother?
What I wanted to say is we have people that are convicted of crimes that they didn't commit. They go to jail for 20 years, and they never get compensated when they get out with $83 million. And here's a woman that probably did lie and is a nutcase, and she gets $83 million. Where's the justice that we get in this country? Is that what we call justice? And not only that, her lawyers say, oh, she deserves all of that money. Well, yeah, they would say that because the more she gets, the more they get. I think the whole thing is made up. It's ridiculous.
It's actually $88 million.
Thanks. You guys have a good day.
Thank you. It's actually $88 million.
It went up since our last segment?
No, remember the first case was a $5 million.
She's not going to see a dime of that, and she's not going to see a dime of the $83.3 million.
Yeah, I don't see how. I don't see how she sees any of that.
All right, let's go to... Oh, the phone lines are open, by the way. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. The text line, John Anthony, do you have that up and running?
No, not up. I forgot to... Oh. We were talking during the break. If you guys can't see, line, I'm going to hold up the phone. Amy and I are FaceTiming.
Yes, the text line is 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Let's go to Craig in Mount Greenwood. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Amy, and good morning to John.
Morning.
I just talked to you on Saturday, yeah. Black and White.
Yeah, you did. Thank you.
I like when you guys are together. You guys make a good team, no doubt about it.
Thank you.
And what I wanted to say about this issue in that is it's become very, very clear over and over, and it's like Donald Trump draws this truth out. Our justice system is so destroyed by leftists, it's unbelievable. There is no justice. There really is no justice, no matter where you go and everything. It shows up how, even from our Justice Department, all the way in Justice Department, all the way down through these courts and everything, our country's gut shot.
Yeah.
Yep. It's over. I mean,
there's no way to get any kind of justice out of this system when you have leftists in there, because it's all political, 100% political. Justice is just a tool that they use to attack us and destroy conservatives in it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Really? Thanks so much for the phone call. This is how they're interfering with our election. This is it. Biden is not going to go out and campaign at all.
No,
folks. Biden's going to do what he did last time. He doesn't need to. Well, he'd probably turn around and walk into a wall.
Yeah.
But they're using these trials to take him down so he doesn't have to campaign.
Right.
They are so desperate. So here's President Trump. He was in Las Vegas yesterday, I believe, or no, Saturday. And he, you know, kind of tap dancing around the issue, but yet making it known that keep trying. I'm not going down.
It's never happened. And here I am. And we're leading in every poll. So just let's get there. Let's get there. The closer we do and the better we do, the more dramatic they become. Joe Biden is a threat to democracy. He is, for a lot of reasons. Number one, he's incompetent. That's a threat to democracy. You know, incompetence is a gross threat to democracy. But he's a real threat. What they're doing with elections and election interference, as an example, what they do with me. Look at yesterday. Look at all this crap that's going on. But we keep marching forward. We just keep going.
And good for him. I mean, the stamina he must have. Because today, or this week, Letitia James, you know, in New York, they're deciding this week whether or not he and his two sons could still do business in the state of New York. So it's coming at him from the right, from the left, from the top, from the bottom. It's constant.
Remember, that's another judgment, basically, that was predetermined before the case, before it even started.
Right.
And he was already found guilty.
Yep, where they changed the laws to go after Trump.
Yeah, but Amy, you ever notice that any time that there's a reform of anything, they never try to reform judges, anything having to do anything with judges? You ever notice that? We haven't done anything when it comes to judges in a very, very long time in this state and in this country. Because now they're politicized. These judges are so politicized, and there's been nothing to do. We haven't had any reform to go after that politicization of the judicial system. And I think it's high time.
Bob in Buffalo Grove, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Morning, Amy. Good to hear you, John.
Morning.
We have more ammunition that the fake news media can now continue to attack Trump, and they won't fact check or provide the evidence, whatever. So it's going to continue on. And let me offer, if Trump is elected, more years of this stuff will never end.
Never end.
Hey, great show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Let's go to Phil on the Northwest side. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Let me click that. All right, there we go. Hey, Phil, are you there? Hey, Justin, can you take Phil for me, please? Thanks. Hi, Phil.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning. It's a great show. And, you know, I just want to say the Communist Party always goes to the judges. And I think we should start a platform to do a donation for Trump and also in a petition against this judge and many other judges, because I've had 32 years of my life ruined by a judge. It's made me very conservative. That judge was kicked off the bench on corruption charges here in Cook County in Skokie courtroom
Wow.
over a police brutality case. And I'm very pro-police.
Yeah.
And it is just a shame when these judges just decide to make whatever decision they want or show up drunk or leave in the middle of depositions, walking out the door and all this crazy nonsense and just making decisions like, oh, well, let's charge them $100 million. These people need to be arrested and jailed. And we need to, and if you guys got the platform, I'd be happy to donate the first $1,000. We got to start helping this man out because we're losing our country.
It's true.
Yeah.
He's right.
Hey, Phil, what were you what was wrong? Like, well, why were you in front of a judge?
Well, I'm 52. When I was 19, I had a guy that was off duty, never knew he was an officer. Half my family's police and fire and many other branches of government. And I got my head split in handcuffs because he tried shooting a kid that I was with, which is funny because that kid ended up on drugs, heavy drugs, throughout the rest of his life. He's dead now. And his aunt was a judge, and she walked him in and out of court in the 25th District for 20 years. Never went to jail. This kid robbed everybody. But at the time, he didn't do anything. We were urinating in the alley because we were all drinking like idiot kids. And it was summertime, and I had to pull this guy off this guy because he was trying to drag him into the yard and shoot him. That same officer came to every one of my jobs for the last 27 years. This has made me extremely conservative, extremely conservative. I am so fed up with this endless corruption. His own cops were fed up with him.
Wow.
It is so sad. I just spent $20,000 to try to remove this record now, presently. And I've been broke my whole life over this. I'm tired of this. Everybody I know is tired of this. And, you know, they're going and attacking a man who's very much for the people and very much for the country, while every single major Democratic city is selling $300 million a week worth of heroin alone. All the shootings we get every night, all this crazy nonsense and crime, this is all over heroin and cocaine, and the same thing that's going on the border, and half my friends and a few of my relatives and half my neighborhood. These kids are all dead from this drug trade. And are these judges doing anything about it? No, they just let them right back out.
All right. Thanks, Phil.
It's horrible. It's nauseous. You guys have a nice day.
Thank you, Phil.
It's awful. Let's go to Marty in Naperville. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning, Marty.
Good morning. Couple things. Number one, I may be wrong, but wasn't it Ben Franklin who said, now here's your republic, now let's see if you can keep it?
Yeah, allegedly. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I believe this week Illinois is deciding whether or not Donald Trump can be on the ballot in Illinois. So we got that to look forward to also. It's just unbelievable. Everything with the court systems and everything here are just what are you going to do about it? You're right. These judges sit up there, do what they want, when they want. I was involved in a case one time. I wasn't involved, and I was there as a witness. I got dragged into court. And during everybody's testimony, all the judge was doing was looking down and writing things, like he was doing a crossword puzzle. Then at the end, he just said, well, here's my decision. And that was it. I mean, it was unbelievable. But anyway, thanks for the time.
All right, thanks, Marty.
Yeah, it'll be decided sometime this week. But
come on.
Just hold off until the U.S. Supreme Court makes the decision.
Yeah, that's going to be February 8th.
Yeah.
So Maine and Colorado are still going to put Trump on the ballot.
Correct.
But if they take Trump off the ballot in Illinois,
yeah,
please.
Amy,
I will flip this table over.
Don't be shocked if he wins Illinois. If that happens.
Do you think so?
Hey, anything can happen in 2024. Trust me, anything can happen. I think people are going to be so fed up. People are paying attention, Amy. My cousin, he was a Trump hater. He called me this week, a couple of days ago, and said, can you get me a Trump t-shirt?
Oh,
really? I want to wear a Trump t-shirt in Tennessee. I'm Memphis. He lives down there in the Memphis area.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, it's so bad. You know what's going on in Fulton County?
Yeah.
A good judge there is actually heard a motion to release all the conversation between Fannie Willis and her team that they had with the White House. You know, because they can't conspire with President Biden to take down a political rival, because that's what they did.
Right.
They went to the White House, her lover boy, and what's his name?
What is his name?
What's lover boy's name? Yeah. It's Nathan Wade. Come on. Who's just a personal injury attorney, never tried a RICO case, never tried a felony case. But they took they went to the White House to conspire with them. And don't forget, Fannie Willis was with partying with Kamala Harris last year. Adam Schiff was with her, too, with Fannie Willis trying to conspire and take down Trump. You can't do it. And then they're charging time at the White House. But here's the deal. People are real quick. People are turning on her. Black people. I think she's going to make Fulton County MAGA country. Because she wanted to get a new car. Fannie Willis did. And because of this whole, you know, debacle that she's created, this, you know, it's so wrong on a number of levels. They're not giving her the new car. And now people want to, are you ready for this? Defund the DEA's office.
It is clear we have abuse in the DA's office.
I do not support what Fannie Willis is doing with my tax money.
I'm disgusted at the information that is coming out of the district attorney's office as a taxpayer. I am done with most of your silence at the DA's apparent love affair with the special prosecutor and gross mismanagement of taxpayers' dollars to pursue what appears to be a frivolous lawsuit based off of partisan politics. Apparently, guys like me need to court Fulton County female executives if we want a free ride at all paid expense.
Well, what I learned over the weekend is that the day after he got that $649,000 contract, he filed for divorce.
Really?
The day after. But he's using public funds, taxpayer funds, to supply her lavish vacations, the two of them. I mean, it's not like they were trying to hide it. They were on a Royal Caribbean cruise with thousands of people, and they weren't staying in their room the whole time.
But you said what's going to win Atlanta, I mean, Georgia for Trump? It's going to be Young Thug and Snoop Dogg. I don't know if you heard Snoop Dogg came out.
What did Snoop Dogg do?
He said he's behind President Trump. He had no. I'll find the clip and send it to Justin. But it's but Young Thug is the other guy, the kid that's that RICO charge that he's fighting in Fulton County as well. I'm telling you, these black people are waking up, Amy. It's about time.
Real quick, Mary Kay in Western Springs, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning, Mary Kay.
Good morning. Guys, how are you, John? Morning. Good to hear your voice, John. So a friend of mine went to training to be an election judge over in Lyons. And during the training, they, you know, it's a long training to be able to stand there and everything. They did no signature matching training at all. It's not even part of the training.
Wow.
I showed up last time I went to vote in a primary with three of those things that they mail you with your voter ID card. One said Mary Ross, one said Katie, Kathleen, John, JR, all these different things for my whole family here. And I said to the lady, we're going to stand here until you fix this. Each and every one, get this Mary lady off the thing. My name is Mary Kay, you know, fix it. And she's like, and people are backing up and standing behind me. I'm like, I don't care. Fix it. And she's like, you're smart. Let's get it fixed. And we did. But no signature matching training is part of being an election official in Illinois.
Well, all right. Thanks, Mary Kay.
Thanks, you guys.
Now I want to break. We'll be right back.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information to start your day. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Hey, business owners, is your business and money in good hands? Does your bank invest in your success? Hi, Mike Gallagher here, letting you know that when you need a relationship bank, Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. I love these guys. Not only do they have expansive industry experience, a strong financial track record, but they're also highly capitalized for strategic growth. That's so important. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. They know what it means to grow a business by designing solutions that are right for you and only you. These are real people. They're ready to help. So reach out to my friends at Signature Bank. Make the call today, 773-467-5630. 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Your business could be Signature Bank's next success story. Go online, signaturebank.bank. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Signature Bank.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
All All right, good Monday morning. Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony in for Dan Proft, who I don't know where he is today. Maybe he's golfing. Maybe he's not. You know where he is?
I have no idea where he
is. You're not his keeper.
No.
How
I don't
your
think
show
Dan
this
wants
past
a
weekend?
Keeper.
I know. Well,
my show this weekend? It was amazing.
Yeah. What did you
it
have
was amazing.
On?
I had Dennis Rebelletti and I came. We're in studio. You know, Troublemaker is pretty much done. He's moving to Michigan. So he'll come, you know, sporadically to come on and host the show. But I may have to
losing
be in,
your partner.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. That's hard
tough.
To do.
Yeah. We had such good chemistry, you know, yeah. And I love that dude. And for him to just, I get it. He wants to move close, be closer to his kids. So yeah. He's listening. I know he is. Taffy Applehead, so.
Well, when's your last show? Have you had a goodbye show?
No. I don't, because he's really not going to be gone. He's just going to come, you know, whenever he can. Because he's moving up there. He's got to find a job, and he quit his job here. So, we talked about it on my show 2 weeks ago, I believe.
And this is Verlon that we're talking about.
Verlon, the troublemaker.
Yes.
Galloway.
That's his name, Troublemaker,
Troublemaker.
His moniker?
Oh, yeah, that's what I named him. I named him the Troublemaker.
Well, who's creating trouble is Governor Abbott. He's holding the line, and I could not be more proud of him. That 1 o'clock deadline came and went. Did you hear that on
yes,
Friday?
I did.
Biden was going to, you know, federalize the Texas National Guard, and with the beginning of civil war, and 24 states have vowed to be with Governor Abbott, and this is a way for this is a way that the former governor of Texas thinks that more people will become red. Even people that are Democrats might now vote for a Republican.
Doing is turning Texas even more red, and it's really going to start getting red along the border where the historic Democrat Party was strong. And because of this open border and open crime and open problem that we've got with drugs and all the other things that are happening along the border of Texas, those Hispanic historic Democrats are becoming Republicans, and they're becoming Republicans overwhelmingly. So I will suggest to you that the Castro boys may have been talking about their pipe dream of seeing a blue Texas, but Texas is going to be even redder. From a political standpoint. Now, you know, God bless Governor Abbott for what he's doing.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, he's fighting the fight. He's standing up, doing what needs to be done in this country. I hope he finds more buses and more airplanes to send these individuals further into the United States. So the folks in New York and Chicago and Denver, those places that are begging and telling us, oh, you cold-hearted people down there in Texas, you know, we're sanctuary cities up here, and you should be too. Well, here's your chance to reflect that. And I will suggest to you, it's just a bunch of blather when they have to deal with this issue and the cost of it and the cost to their citizens, not just in money, but in crime, in having to deal with this from a Medicare standpoint, deal with this in their public schools. They are going to wish they had always been on the side of law and order, building a wall, building the technology, having the quick response teams to secure that border like we did under the Trump administration.
Okay, so in case you're keeping score, the Supreme Court said that the feds could take down the razor wire,
right.
But Texas can put it back up. So there was real no solid explanation from the Supreme Court. So now 24 states have signed a pledge to back Governor Abbott, and 10 states have even brought down, sent guards or other law enforcement mm-hmm. agents to the border because we are being invaded.
Right.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line, 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. You can also text us on our text line, which John Anthony has up and running, right?
No. Next segment is going to be up.
You guys.
Next segment. Next segment. Justin and I have talked.
Okay, 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. You're such guys.
Yes.
We'll do a next segment.
Yeah.
Now we'll get on
we'll
get on it.
It'll get done.
But one thing that I learned is that, you know how they used to hate Border Patrol?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they were whipping people at the border, whipping Haitians,
yep.
Slavery all over again. Now, KJP, they're so concerned now about the border, the poor Border Patrol. We need to support them.
We have been very clear. We want to make sure we get something done at the border. That's why we've been having these conversations with Senate Republicans and Democrats for the past several weeks to come up with a bipartisan agreement to deal with the border. Governor Abbott is not interested in that. He wants to politicize an issue, and he's not helping communities. He actually isn't. And he's actually putting Border Patrol agents in harm's way by doing what he's doing.
Do you think one person in the Biden administration gives an iota, you know what, about Border Patrol agents? Yeah. They were the enemies all along, and now they're, oh, we have to support them and let them in.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to be concerned about all this when you're being invaded. Your state is being literally invaded. It's kind of hard to focus on what she's talking about. And you talk about politicizing. They politicized this before he was even sworn in as president. So don't give me that BS. This
They're
has been
not
politicized.
Sending a message.
No.
I know.
They can stop this.
Listen, we are losing our country, and we're never going to get it back. What the bipartisan bill that they want to allow 5,000 people in a day. How about zero people in a day? There is absolutely no need to do it. And the reason why they're doing it, they need people. I mean, Jerry Nadler says we need people to pick the crops and have babies.
We need immigrants in this country. Our vegetables would rot in the ground if they weren't being picked by many immigrants, many illegal immigrants. The fact is that the birth rate in this country is way below replacement level, which means our population is going to start shrinking. And the ratio of people on Social Security and Medicare is going to increase relative to the number of people supporting them.
I mean, it is so infuriating because Kamala said what we need, the vice president, don't you know, said we need to process more migrants and give them a faster path to citizenship. Jerry Nadler said that. The Castro brothers from Texas, you know, the twins that look sinister.
Yeah.
They want to turn Texas blue.
In a couple of presidential cycles, you'll be on election night. You'll be announcing that we're calling the 38 electoral votes of Texas for the Democratic nominee for president. It's changing. It's going to become a purple state and then a blue state because of the demographics, because of the population growth of folks from outside of Texas.
And I got to tell you, I keep hearing, because I watch Fox News a lot. Do you watch Fox News?
I don't watch any news.
They keep saying, you know, our schools are going to be turned over, our hospitals.
Yeah.
And then I watched NBC Nightly News on Friday, and I could not believe what I saw. There is, it's called Denver General. They are out $10 million because they've had 8,000 illegals come to their hospital.
Jeez.
People getting treated for Parkinson's disease, for MS, for whatever, you know, things that they couldn't get in their own home country.
Yeah.
Okay? They're begging the federal government for help. Yeah. They're out, their hospital personally is out $10 million. And the worst part is the school. There's an elementary school in Denver. This is going to, you're going to hate this story. They normally get 5 to 10 new students a year. They get 5 to 10 new students a week.
Oh my.
It's so bad that they're at capacity and they have 35 max in a classroom. Mm-hmm. And are you ready for this? They are taking American students who go to that school, who've been going to that school. They are repurposing them or taking them to other elementary schools.
Wow.
So Americans are being shoved out of their own classrooms.
Insane.
To make room for illegals. And if that's happening in Denver, that's going to happen here.
Everywhere.
In Chicago.
What happened in New
Denver's,
York?
Denver's different than Chicago because people love, I mean, the tapestry. It's the mountains. People love Denver. And my friends that live there would never live anywhere else besides Denver.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're doing that to American children.
Yeah.
We don't even have a say anymore. If I was a mother and my daughter had to switch schools in the middle of the school year for some illegals,
I'd be
out of my mind.
Yeah.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment.
I got a question. Do we know the numbers since Texas put up the fence? Have the crossings decreased? Because, you know, when you put something, when you put an object in front of them where they can't get over, numbers normally decrease. Has anybody discussed that or talked about that?
Well, we didn't have as many buses from Texas this weekend in Chicago. I wonder why. But you know what happens when that happens? They find other ways. Yeah. I don't know if you saw this story or saw the video.
Your stack of stuff?
La Jolla, community, San Diego, they stormed the beach. You got to see, it's like not storming the beaches of Normandy. There was about 17 illegals on a boat. They smashed their boat into La Jolla community, got out there. That's where UC San Diego is, and a bunch of liberals live there. And they got out and they scattered like ants through the community. It is really crazy. We'll tweet it out. But yeah, illegals stormed the beach of La Jolla, California, in a smuggling boat that they then abandoned the boat for everyone else to deal with. Good Samaritan surfers swam out to pick up the trash that the illegals left for them. The boat had turned over. There was fuel spilling all out in the ocean. They had about 18 cans of fuel, garbage everywhere.
Wow.
And they just ran into the community.
Unchecked, unbothered.
Unchecked, unvetted, all of it. So here's another congresswoman who wants more of these illegals sent to her district.
I need more people in my district, but just for redistricting purposes. And those members could clearly fit here.
I mean, losing our country. Now, you were mentioning something about a march or a caravan.
So on TikTok, there's like this huge caravan. They're trying to get over 750,000 Americans down to the border. And they've been posting all about, you know, bringing people, come on down and help save America. So it's I mean, if that happens, I'm afraid of the clash of what you know, the fights, the I'm afraid of what may happen with that, because Americans are not just going to sit by idly and not do anything if they see somebody crossing over.
But I was hoping, and I always tweeted this out, that he would, you know, take over, federalize the troops that are already there. Biden would take over.
Looking for the
during
fight.
The football. Well, I thought during the AFC and the NFC championship games. Yeah. Because while America's not watching, we're distracted, that would be a perfect time to go in. But he didn't do it, and I don't think that he's going to do it.
Yeah. No.
Because he doesn't have a spine.
Yeah. Well, I politically, I think can you imagine the visual of that happening? Politically, that hampers him, I believe.
Oh, he ignored the border for 3 years, and then he goes to the border to push out law enforcement to help criminals?
Correct.
I mean, that's what that would look like.
Yes. Yes.
Sending people to the border for your fellow law enforcement officers, get them out of the way in order to abate and abet criminals. Not a good look.
No, not at all.
Lee and Hammond, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning, Lee.
Hi, guys. You know, I'm not a fan of what's going on with this invasion, but I love these bigoted Democrats like that congressman from New York that said these people only have the intellectual capability to pick fruit. I mean, if you can make it up into this country from 150 different countries, I think you got more savvy than half these clowns we got in the Congress right now. You know, I just love these bigoted Democrats. They act like they're the champion of these of the underclass, and then when their real thoughts come out, it's obvious how these people think. They're like back in 1945 or something.
Oh, Lee, Democrats can't be bigoted. Come on. They are never bigoted, Lee. They are never.
Maybe the soft bigotry. You know, they smile at you while they talk behind your back about what they really think about you. And exactly. The amazing thing to me is that minority groups in this country vote for these idiots after all this time.
I think that's the changing.
Thanks, Lee. Well, we're going to have Jamal Green on the program later.
Jamal.
Yeah, Jamal said something that piqued my interest. Oh, we'll tell you what that is. And Kamala Harris, by the way, she says that this is all political, John Anthony. That's what this is.
Sadly, it has become so deeply partisan. And the subject of then political gamesmanship, when in fact the solutions are at hand. And we offered a solution early on and invited bipartisan work. Let's work on it to fix this. But sadly, we want to fix it. They want to run on it. They want a political issue to run on in November.
And I love what Greg Abbott was with Tucker Carlson. Yeah. And, you know, he asked him, when is this going to end?
Yeah.
Guess when this is going to end?
I thought you played a video clip.
January 20th of next year.
Yeah. Of course.
Because when Trump becomes president, because, quote, he said, quote, because I believe a new president will be sworn in, a president who will actually enforce the immigration laws of the entire country, not just the Texas border.
Yeah.
We'll have safe and secure borders once again. So if any issue, it's this issue. Tony in Riverside, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning.
Good morning, Amy. Hi, John. Hi. I met you at the Freedom Summit. How are you?
I'm doing well, Tony.
Good to hear you this morning.
Thank you.
I wanted to follow up on the Jerry Nadler statement about we're not, you know, our birth rate has gone down. I'm related to a lifelong tree hugger, and I can remember 33 years ago when I was expecting my daughter, my eldest, her telling me, I hope you guys aren't planning on having any more children because there's a population over explosion.
Yep.
So that was them promoting that, and that's why a lot of these young people only choose A, not to have children, or B, to only have one. And just as a footnote, I went on to have two more. So, yeah, what a joke.
Hey, Tony, were we just at the General Flynn event together as well?
Pardon me, sir?
Were you just at the General Flynn, Mike Flynn event that I emceed the other day?
No,
unfortunately,
okay. I was not.
Okay. That was a
great day.
Thanks, Tony. But I'll tell you, in reference to what she said, I remember being a kid and them telling us, don't have a lot of children. It's not good for the environment.
Right.
And look at Meghan Markle on Prince Harry.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
What idiots they are. Did you hear what she said?
No,
I did not.
We're
only having two children because of the environment.
Oh, my goodness. What environment? You know, Amy, listen.
Global warming, so we can only have two kids. That's what they said.
Yeah. You know, Kamala Harris said, to think she's a heartbeat away from the presidency is mind-blowing. But to say they've politicized it, we need to do this bill. No, we already have laws on the book right now. We can stop this today with the laws on the books right now. They're politicizing this. They don't want to because they're looking at a new voter base. The Joaquin brothers are right, or the Castro brothers are right.
Mm-hmm.
This is how Democrats forecast. Republicans don't. Republicans fight for the day. Democrats are planning decades from now of what they want this country to look like, and that's why they're letting people in from all over the world because they want to take and make this whole United States of America all blue all over, and that's what's happening. Wake up, America.
Carl in Marionette Park, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning.
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, John. Thanks for taking my call. Just a quick comment. My comment is Taylor Swift was recently awarded Person of the Year. That should be revoked. Person of the Year should go to Governor Abbott. He's trying to save the state of Texas. He's trying to save our country. And that's my comment. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Carl. Let's go quickly to Tina and Joliet.
This trouble right here.
Chicago's Morning Answer. Hello, Tina.
That's the Valkyrie. What's up, Valkyrie?
John, you just stole my thunder. Oh. I was just calling in to say the same thing, that unfortunately, while this benefits us politically and it's moving people from the left to the right, it's thank God, because what have the Republicans done to move anybody from the left to the right? Where the heck are they? Why hasn't Mayorkas been impeached yet?
Yeah.
Why haven't we?
Oh, they're starting the impeachment process.
Yeah.
But come on, 3 years in, 8 million illegal immigrants. I don't know what else has to happen before we see movement from our party. I really don't. And even in Illinois, why are they not screaming from the rooftops? Now, I know we don't have media and we don't have people to promote our causes, but they have got to do more. I mean, thank God for people out here in the communities putting together classes and organizing, because we have no leadership still, and Donald Trump isn't going to be able to do it all by himself.
It's true.
We need help.
It's true.
All right, thanks, Tina. You're listening to AM 560 Chicago's Morning Answer.
Listen to podcast of Dan and Amy from the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
All right, good Monday morning. Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony is with us. Hi, John. How are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm doing well.
Good. I'm trying to FaceTime you.
I know.
Because we're in separate locations. There you are.
There. Hey.
I got a new iPhone 15, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and I wish I didn't.
I don't see you.
Oh, well, I see you. That's all that matters.
Okay. It's muted.
Okay. All right, so The DNC is coming up sooner than we know. I bet in a matter of months it will be here. And are Chicago police ready? With that, more on that, let's welcome back to the program our good friend John Catanzaro, FOP president, all around good guy. He might run for mayor next time, maybe, we hope.
Should have ran this time.
I know. Good morning, John. How are you?
Living the dream. Good morning.
Oh, yes. All right. So we're not, I mean, but we're going to blink and August is going to be here, believe it or not. And are Chicago police ready for what's about to transcend upon this wonderful city of Chicago?
Well, I can only prepare as much as you can prepare. I don't know that anybody's going to be technically ready for what could possibly be here, given the circumstances in the world right now.
Right. Let's talk about those pro-Palestinian protests that have shut down Lakeshore Drive. They shut down I-90. They shut down, Stevenson last weekend. So why are police just standing there doing nothing and not arresting them?
Well, there's nothing in writing or email, not surprisingly, but from all we've been told, they're pretty much just unwritten order to not engage unless you absolutely have to, which was not the state police's, thank God, mandate when they took action on I-55 2 weeks ago, I believe it was.
Yeah. And they rounded people up, or did they take them, did they impound their cars, or what did they do?
Well, I mean, there was clear video of them absolutely engaging protesters who were blocking the northbound lanes, I believe, of 55 and making arrests. Kind of like the Eddie Johnson, you know, fiasco, but different.
But different. Remind me of the Eddie Johnson fiasco.
Oh, you know, it's the three-year anniversary of the city trying to fire me, and that was one of the two cases that they tried to do it on. You know, Eddie Johnson, Flager, Jesse Jackson all decided that in the name of anti-violence, they had the ability to break state and federal law by blocking commerce and shutting down traffic.
Oh, that's right. That's when they took over the Dan Ryan.
Correct.
I remember that well. All right. So you've been you've been at City Hall last week, and you're going again this week. How's that going?
Well, it's kind of befuddling, but not shocking, I guess. You know, the reality is these elected officials sworn oath to uphold the Illinois Constitution. They have an absolute obligation to do just that. And that means they need to ratify the second part of the contract for arbitration for termination cases. They don't really have an option here. They have routinely, several of them, publicly said, we know this is a loser, but this is basically a moral fight that we have to fight in violation of their oath. You know, they were gutsy enough to verbally say no in violation of their oath the first time. And then last week, they took the coward's way out at the behest of the mayor, I'm sure, where they tried to avoid a vote, knowing that it's going to court Wednesday afternoon this week. My guess is they just want to have the judge enforce the award because they know that's where we're headed with it, so they don't have to do it themselves because they want to do the easy thing and not the right thing.
Wow. What's going on with you, John? How's life, man?
Man, you'll be the first to know. No.
Superintendent Snelling, though, you know, same as the old, or is he really trying to implement changes, especially to help with morale with the Chicago Police Department?
No, he's certainly not more of the same, that's for certain. You know, I have a great line of communication with him. We have regular conversations about issues that I have. I know he has given, you know, kind of a standing edict that, you know, if the FOP, you know, is looking for, you know, some information or some cooperation, we need to try and make these things work better for everybody involved. Because they know at the end of the day, it's about the men and women protecting this city.
Yeah. Has he gotten rid of the no chase policy, things that have hampered policing?
No, he has not gotten rid of that yet, but that's going to be a collaborative effort with the Community Commission on Policing and Accountability also. You know, they have the ability to affect policy. You know, I think one of the things that seems to be odd is that there still is not a first deputy, which is the number two spot. Yeah. I mean, we're 7 months in now, and I know there's whispers all over the place between a shakeup in the department. I think it may be based on possible allegations and indictments for PPP loans, which, you know, every other there's been rumors floating around about several high-ranking Chicago police officers who basically stole government money. And you know, if the names are true, couldn't happen to some nicer people, but including one person at Internal Affairs who has had one corrupt scandal after another. She's supposedly on the list of thieves, too. But
ooh, can you say names?
I think everybody can figure out who that was.
Oh, a female. Yes, I have a very good idea who you're talking about. So do you think on Wednesday,
like, they'll loan out cars to drug dealers, you know, those kind of people.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also a DJ possibly, too, on the side. Because, you know,
That was the former first deputy's wife, the medical role abuser who had and didn't do an honest day of work in her life while she was doing DJing on the side.
Jeez. Oh, my gosh. And wasn't she on disability at the time, too, or something?
Yeah, wrote it all the way out until retirement because, you know, that's just the Chicago way.
Chicago way.
Oh, my gosh.
With the blessing of her crooked husband.
Do you know of any, like, are they doing any certain training to get ready for the DNC in August? I mean, we're going to have, if this keeps up, we're going to have probably 100,000 illegal immigrants living probably outside in tents, because if you live in a tent, guess what happens? You could take this government subsidies that they give you and send that money to your family back home to bring up even more people. We're going to have that. And then I don't think that the Palestinian-Israeli war is going to be resolved by then either.
A beautiful city and time we live in, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the training wise, I don't really have any doubt that we will be formally trained, you know, properly. There's a couple different training sessions, a 2-day and a 4-day, depending on, you know, where you're expected to be deployed during that convention, similar to what NATO and G8 did. So the T's crossed, I's dot, not a problem. But I think the unknown is what's going to be the issue here. You know, how raw tensions are with the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. You know, and the Democratic Party is such a one-trick pony, you know, abortion. They're going to come here screaming about abortion, even though you can literally abort a baby at 9 months right before their last, you know, their last breath in the womb in this state. That's still okay. So why they're coming here to make abortion a crazy issue is going to be beyond me, but that's just another whole group of people. The Midwest is going to be an interesting time in July and August between Milwaukee and Chicago, that's for sure.
Hey, John, let's talk about the shooting at Innovation School. What was that about? Because that seemed like that was a hit. I saw
it was execution.
Yeah, an execution. What's going on with that? What's the latest with that?
I'd be speculating at best, but I think your description of an execution is absolutely accurate. You know, we see this quite frequently where the graduation, you know, pictures come out about how, you know, good this boy or girl was, and then the stories and social media pictures come out of quite a
guns.
Different story.
They were holding guns.
Guns, drugs, you know, yep. So, you know, I don't know, there's talks about that car being used in other crimes. So whether they were associated, I don't know.
The getaway vehicle that they're looking at, this Infiniti QX50, they believe was involved in that smash and grab at the Prada store, remember, on 30 East Oak Street earlier in January. And then there was a shootout with a cop. The cop got shot and the offender got shot. So they're thinking that that may be part of that. But the two victims who died, I've never seen this. This video was so graphic because they didn't run to aid. Nobody was applying pressure to the wound or giving them chest compressions. Everybody was standing there with their iPhones out and not helping.
There was one guy who helped.
One kid.
One guy was looking like he was trying to figure out what to do again. But, you know, the thing that kind of sticks in my head is literally the brazenness it took
to go into downtown Chicago in the middle of the afternoon, get out of your car, and just go up and execute two kids. And whatever we find out who this offender is or how old they are, it's just the reality of the mindset of criminals today. Yep. That it's a progression of I can do whatever I want. This is Grand Theft Auto. This is Gotham. Kim Fox's legal and Tim Evans' legal, you know, justifications for everything in this country, county, has literally made it a lawless land. And that just is a highlight of just what the criminal's mindset is right now. There is no consequences for what I want to do.
Wow.
All right, we're going to have
to leave
it there.
Who wakes up thinking that afternoon? I'm going to go do this and not think, this is insane. There's no way I can get away with this. But that's not what they think anymore.
Right, wow. And there are 27 rounds fired, and they clearly hit their targets.
Yeah.
And it's just so, I mean, one kid, I'm just going to say their names, Roberto Boston, 16 years old, and Monterio Williams, he was 17 years old, and they were walking out of their high school, so...
Well, I will just say, as important as the DNC is to keeping this city intact shortly thereafter, is an election that's probably more important than even the mayor's race was, and that's for a new Cook County State's attorney. And I hope everybody takes it as seriously as possible.
Who are you backing? Is there anybody that you're looking at or interviewing?
You know, the reality is there's only two candidates. They're both a step up. One's a bigger step up than another, but one of the interesting things I found personally, this isn't an FOP endorsement because we haven't publicly did that yet, but was at a Michigan Avenue Retail Association. So all the merchants and all the hotel owners, general managers were at this forum where both candidates spoke for 45 minutes. And they were both very good in their presentation. I think one was clearly better than another. Because the reality is Clayton Harris prefaced it by saying, I know who I'm speaking to in this audience right now before I say this, but agreed that Kim Fox's $1,000 shoplifting threshold should be the felony threshold in violation of statute. He basically agreed to perpetuate that policy that has just ruined businesses in the downtown Chicago. And he literally said it out loud. I mean, I'll give him credit for his honesty.
Right.
But, I mean, that alone should scare the hell out of everybody that it's going to be more of the same.
Wow. So are you guys going to endorse a candidate later on, like when we get closer to the election?
Yeah, well, ballots will be going out next week. Our early ballots go out next week, so we're here. The primary is upon us, so that's pretty much the race. The Republican, you know, I personally love Bob Fioretta, but a snowball's got a better chance with Satan.
Okay.
John.
All right. Thanks, John Catanzaro. We're going to leave it there for today. FOP president, good friend of the show. Thank you so much for joining us, John.
Take care, bud.
Thanks.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one. Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Is he a hero or an enabler? Good Monday morning, Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony in for Dan Proft.
Hey.
So good to have you in. Thanks for coming in today.
Glad to be in.
Especially after a long night watching football.
I feel like we're back at COVID.
Okay.
This is the last time we did this.
I know. We're in two separate locations, but we're always together.
That's right.
So I don't know if you heard last week, there is a man, he's a Chicagoan, I think he's from Edison Park, Chris Amatori, and he is a property owner. He has a lot of buildings on the south side, and he decided, you know what? I'm going to open up my vacant buildings, my abandoned buildings, to migrants.
On them and I saw 5-year-olds with no jackets on the streets. You know, I was taking my jacket off, putting it on them, and I'm like, tomorrow is going to be negative 14. I'm like, what's going on? I just decided, hey, I got the heat on, I got gas, I got electric, water. I go, let's fill them, and we'll worry about the details later.
And so many people called in. We talked about it for a half hour. That, you know, he's a good Samaritan. Other people said no, he's an enabler. So with that, we tracked him down
Ooh.
Via some of our listeners, and we're so pleased to have on our program this morning, Chris Amatori. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good. How you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine. So I have the number one question that I wanted to ask and other people, are you receiving any government subsidies for the people that you're housing?
No, I'm not.
Really? Okay. And how many people are you housing and in how many different buildings? Because I know we talked on, I think, late Friday, and you said you're going to be opening up some other properties that are vacant right now.
Yeah, right now I'm housing 448 migrants.
Okay. And what kind of building? Like, where are your buildings?
It's a total of 15 buildings, two on the two that were in the news are in, like, the South Chicago neighborhood, and then other ones like scattered on the south side of Chicago.
So how did you meet these people and then decide, you know what, I'm going to help out. I'm going to do God's work. You know, the Bible always teaches us to help those in need. What did you approach these people? Were they outside somewhere, or what happened?
Well, you know, me and my wife, you know, we run a God-fearing family, and we decided to, like, every weekend, that's something we do, is we go out and try to help people, and we do random stuff. Sometimes it's just picking up garbage. Other times it's helping the homeless. And that day, I was reading in the news that there was people eating out of garbage cans, didn't have jackets, coming off these buses and flip-flops at something called, like, the Landing Zone. I just got involved in this, like, 12 days ago or, like, 2 weeks ago, so I didn't really know anything about this. Like the migrants or anything, that's all above my pay grade. And, so I went down there with my son and we were handed out some jackets to the people. And then I'm like, what's going on down here? And, I'm in property management. I've been housing the homeless for the last 19 years. But I've been paid for that though, you know? And so I contacted the mayor's office and I'm like, what's going on with these people? Like, and they're like, well, there's 550 people that we don't have room right now in the shelters. And I'm like, well, it's going to be negative 14. What the heck's the plan here? They're like, there is no plan. We just have these buses. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm like, and I said to them, I'm like, you know, I got like 600 units that are, I could house 600 potentially. And basically I just got no comments. So I just decided to do it. And now I'm here, and I am trying to work with the city to see if we could place them somewhere else. I talked to the aldermen because I understand, you know, I'm like, I'm not trying to like ruin people's blocks or anything like that. I'm like, but I just thought it was the right thing to do, the thing that Jesus would do, the thing that, that I try to raise my kids to do and set an example, which I know it's a little extreme, but, you know, now I'm here.
Did you grab some people from the landing zone, a certain family? Did you vet any of these people or were they how did you get them keys to your buildings?
Yeah, so it started at the landing zone, and then I housed 54 at the property on Colfax. And then from there, and then after I talked to the mayor's office and stuff, I was like, okay. And then I went to this address where the main shelter is in Pilsen, 2241, and South Halsted is over there. And there you see all the people just outside the shelter trying to get in, but they're filled. And there's like, at first I thought it was all like, just like dudes and stuff, you know, but it's actually, you know, all these kids, like women and children. And I'm like, okay, you know, I see no difference. You know, we're all God's souls. Right. And so I don't care what the reason they're here, whatever, but I see women and children on the street. Well, I'm alive. That's not tolerable in the city of Chicago. This is not a third world country, you know? And so if the mayor doesn't want to step up and do something, I decided to do something.
Yeah. Chris, this is John Anthony. Here's a question for you. You might not be getting paid now. Will there be an invoice sent to the city of Chicago at some point? Because I mean, who's covering the utilities, for these properties?
Well, yeah, John. Here's the thing. I've already spent $175,000 of my own money. I bought beds for everyone. I bought food. I'm paying heat, everything. I'm not charging any rent. I don't even have a full list of the names of the people that I have right now. Because I was just me, my mother, everyone have just been, we've been putting them in cars and housing them so they don't have to sleep and freeze to death on the street.
Right.
You know, so, and I'm figuring that out. And, but from everything that I see, these are really good people. These are family people, people that want to work. But that's just my opinion.
Right.
And, well, you know, are they, dealing with them firsthand, you know?
Yeah. Are they gracious? I mean, have they, you know, do they thank you for what you're doing?
Oh, my God. Yes. They are unbelievable. Like, there was a video I put out because the alderman of the 7th Ward, or I don't know, he has a lot of hate toward me for some reason, I believe, because he was calling the police were coming by and everything. So, and like the neighbors, I could see, were upset. So they decided they wanted to clean up the whole block to show them, you know, and I videoed it. And, you know, of course, people try to spin it like I'm putting them to work for free labor or something. I'm like, what are you talking about, you know?
Hey.
I'm like, they're just cleaning the block, you know. They're trying to show that they're – I'm sorry, what was that?
Unintended consequence, right?
Yeah, which I don't really care. I only got one person to impress in this life, and that's God.
Yeah.
You know, so, if, you know, and here's another thing. I spent 175 Gs. I'm doing all this. The only person that I should have hate from is my wife. You know what I mean? You know, I have no idea where all this hate comes from, all these people jumping to the conclusions. I'm like, leave me alone if you don't like it. I'm not asking for nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, of course I would take money from the city. I'm not an idiot. I'm a businessman.
Right.
But I didn't do this for that reason. But the city should step up, and they should pay me, or
they
should
take
them. I'll help drive them to another location if they have it. You know?
Well, I'm sure they will.
What's the exit plan? I mean, some might not want to leave.
You know, it's like, you know, it's so weird that I go to these properties every day because, you know, I'm nervous. I know my insurance ain't going to cover it if it burns down or something, you know. So I'm going there every day to check and everything. They answer the door right away. They are so gracious, you know. Like, it's unbelievable how gracious, you know. They all call me Stan Crystal Ball when I get there, you know. Yeah. And they're so gracious. And because imagine making that trip from Venezuela and all that stuff, but, you know, whether it's legal, illegal, whatever, that's above my pay grade. I'm a retired Chicago fireman, right? I only did 16 years, you know, but so, like, I don't have the answers. I don't know nothing, right? All I know is that what I believe in, you should help people when they're in need, and anything else is above my pay grade. You know
but
what I mean?
You're a businessman. You need to make money. So what's the exit plan?
Oh, he's going
to
get paid.
What happens if somebody commits a crime that is staying at one of your properties? Are you going to kick them out?
Hell yeah, I'm going to kick them out. Yeah, no, and that's the thing. Like, I understand there's, you know, laws, that I think, like, everyone kind of has an understanding right now that, you know, if you know, there's no drinking at my properties, there's no smoking weed, any of that. They're out of there. And guess what? They could call the cops on me because I will throw their ass out.
Yeah, but
you know, without that, because they understand how this is, and they understand that no one is helping them, and I'm helping them with my own funds. They know, I mean, yeah. John, if I do get paid, great. I'll probably end up using that money to do more of this or something to help. But
hey, Chris.
You know, but right now,
listen, Chicago, Cook County has some of the best squatter rights, tenants. You should know this. You've been involved in Chicago real estate because initially the
managed 5,000 units. I'm a professional management company. Right. I know exactly how all this works.
Right. Yes. Initially, the Colfax property was called out as a break-in, that they were breaking into the property. Now, how have some of the other neighbors taken up on your stance of allowing these illegal immigrants into these properties? Has there been any clashes with neighbors in all these 15 buildings where they're being housed?
Well, I mean, there hasn't been any physical clashes yet, fortunately, but I have received a lot of hate and a lot of, you know, threats. Like, for example, on the Colfax, you know, they're like, you know, you better get all these effers out of here, or I'm going to shoot up your building, stuff like that. And I, you know, I understand that, and, you know, I understand that there's a lot of hate, and that's why I have talked. First day, I went to Alderman Mitchell's place, and I filled out a form. He wouldn't see me, and I said, hey, I'm letting you know what I'm doing in your ward. You got any ideas? You want to take them somewhere else? What do you want to, you know, or whatever? You know what I mean? But the only thing I was seeing is just getting them in some warmth and getting them some food.
Yeah. What are you doing for your own public safety? What are you doing for your own safety? I mean, you getting all these threats? You getting death threats, anything like that? What are you doing to protect yourself and your family? Because, I mean, you know, people in this day and age, they'll literally come after you and try to bring harm to you or your family. Are you protecting yourself?
Well, to tell you the guy's honest truth, I actually did hire an off-duty police officer to sit in front of my house for a week. It cost me like $1,800, but because I was out till 3 a.m. every day housing these people. And I was like getting the, you know, it was more of like in person and stuff. Like even like little old ladies on the way to church, like they're like pull their car up and like, excuse me, sir. And then they're like, oh, you're that guy from the news, right? I'm like, yeah, how can I help you, man? They're like, oh, you hate black people. I get it. You hate black people. I'm like, damn. And then she just like, you know, cruises away. I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm like, that seems like a really good person right there that is convinced that I'm a bad person for whatever reason. I'm like, what did I say on the news that was so bad that I believe in God and that I think I'm on God's plan and that the chips should fall the way? Because that's what I believe in. You know, I don't believe it's my decision to do that.
I admire what you're doing. I understand what you're doing. But what is the exit plan? Is there like they could stay for 60 days? They could stay for 90 days? Do you want 30 days? I mean, have you set boundaries and parameters with these people?
I told them I understand that they're just getting done with the craziest part of their lives ever, and they don't know what's going on, and it's insane. I said, in a month or so, we'll talk, and because I don't really know. You know, I'm expecting that maybe someone is going to help me with the city or someone is going to help me with the state, and it doesn't have to be paying me money. You know, if that's the way it pans out, great. You know, I mean, you know, because I see how the city's pissing away the money, so they might as well give it to someone that's going to use it good. But if not, so be it. Where do you want to take them? Let's take them somewhere. That's what I say. Like, the city calls the building department on me and this and that. I'm like, all right, you want them out? Where are we taking them? I don't give a shit, you know?
Hey, Chris.
You know what I mean? Like,
Chris,
don't swear.
Chris, yeah, Chris.
I'm sorry about that.
Are you concerned about the liability should something happen in one of your properties with these illegal immigrants?
Of course I am.
And with your insurance not being able to cover, I mean, that comes straight after you, correct?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's gonna be another pretty penny I'm going to have to pay, you know, so hopefully I get this figured out, you know?
Oh, man.
All right.
You're a brave soul.
Yes, and who's feeding them on a daily basis? I mean, can some of them work, or can they work for your company or do anything to work for food?
Right now I got it set up on Instacart, so I got all the properties on Instacart, and it automatically sends the same amount like every like 4 days. I mean, I've really been doing this.
That's right off.
You know, this is all like I'm just like kind of getting this figured out as I go, but yeah, that's you know this is the truth, you know. Like, yeah, I guess you could say I'm just like an idiot that just jumped into this and didn't really have anything figured out, you know. So yeah. I guess that's a way to sum it up, you know.
Well, I'll tell you this: come tax time, this is a big loss. This is a big loss of income for you. So I'm sure you can find a way to offset this.
Yeah, you know, I'll be all right. I'm not like this like guy who's like saying I'm going to donate. I'm giving away everything in my life.
I'm sure.
You know, I've had a lot of success in my life, and I'm doing this, and I'll be okay. You know what I mean? So.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And
yeah, thanks, Chris.
I mean, they are very gracious, as they should be, for what you're doing for them. Chris, and we'll catch up to you later, and we'll keep in touch. Chris Amatori, property owner,
right.
Former firefighter, and he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
This is the morning show. More Chicago radio listeners are choosing. This is Chicago's morning answer on AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
All right, rolling right along this Monday morning. Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony and Dan Proft. Having a good time?
Yeah, it's moving along pretty fast, right?
Oh, yeah. We've got lots to get to. We have a former police superintendent, former retired FBI agent, Jody Weiss, will be joining us at 8 o'clock about this letter that they sent out to our lawmakers saying there is a threat of a terrorist attack if you don't secure the border. So we're going to get to that at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
But first, I want to see if this pickup line works on you.
Okay.
Hey, are you net zero? Hey, do you drive an EV? You're not even looking at me. Come on. I'm trying to flirt here, John.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my God.
Hey, how's your hybrid? Huh?
Yeah, no.
That's a good line. Or during the polar vortex, or our version of that, a lot of cars weren't starting because the batteries couldn't charge when it's minus 30.
Had to charge, like, multiple times every day the last couple days. I had to, like, wait for, like, 45 minutes for a charger, and then I pull in, it doesn't work, and then I pull out, and then someone else takes the next charger, and then I had to wait again. So it's it's been a little frustrating.
I was at 50% when I got here. Usually from 50 to like 80, 90% take like 10, 15 minutes. It's taking an hour and 20 minutes.
It's just frozen, and so I'm now getting it towed to the Tesla Service Center because that's my only option at this point.
So this is not a sustainable system. And with that, we welcome to the program Steve Gorham. He is the author of the new book, Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, John. I'm great. Happy winter to you.
Yeah. So did you see this coming when it got cold outside? We had cars that were, that one man was interviewed that was there for 20 hours trying to charge his Tesla.
Yeah, it is remarkable. You know, they say that 90% of all electric vehicles are still on the road and 10% actually made it home. But this is when you get down to about 10 degrees Fahrenheit, literally EVs will not charge. And a little bit of a problem. And so it's a big black eye for electric vehicles, of course. And EVs have hit a speed bump this last year. The demand is down, and the price of used electric vehicles dropped 30% last year. And we have some folks like Hertz Rental, who is selling back a third of their EVs to Tesla. They committed to buy 100,000 from Tesla. And I think, you know, they say it's the problem with the maintenance and collisions and that sort of thing, but I think a lot of folks just don't want to rent them. I hear all these stories about people that get rentals that are undercharged, and then they have to drive a long distance and they can't get there, and people just don't want to put up with it. So EVs are penetrating world markets. They are going to continue to do so. And if you can charge at home and drive to a short distance to work, they're pretty good. But if you live in cold weather, or if you're in an apartment, you got to take your charging cable and stretch it across a public walkway. That doesn't work very well.
Right.
So it's going to be a mix. But the idea that governments all ought to force us to buy EVs to stop the oceans from rising, that's the thing that's really crazy.
Well, I mean, look in California. They're requiring new cars sold by 2035 to be zero emissions. So how can they make that work? Are they just going to stop selling gas in California? And what if you drive to California to visit someone? I mean, how is that going to work?
Yeah, there isn't a lot of logic. There are also all new heavy trucks this year. There's a thing called the Advanced Clean Fleets Regulation. Mm-hmm. And all new heavy trucks in certain categories have to be zero emissions vehicles, effective January 1st. Now, they're kind of relaxing that a little bit. But that is just loony. But to get to net zero, we have to have coercion because people aren't going to go and do it themselves. And so we have states and federal governments and cities trying to force everybody to go to net zero. We also have a bunch of things, problems with gas stoves. As I think you know, the city of Chicago is considering a ban on all new gas appliances in new construction, which would really be bad for the citizens of Chicago. Higher costs, and they're not going to do very well in cold weather either.
Well, it still needs to be heard and voted on by Chicago City Council. But, you know, the switch would ban items, you know, such as gas stoves and other heating devices in the new buildings. And our mayor said it's going to improve the lives of many. Ready? Quote, "It's one of the most important policies we can pursue here in Chicago." Oh, really? To reduce our climate change impact, and it's focused on new buildings. This ordinance will improve safety and comfort for all. So what does that mean? You have to have an electric heater, an electric dryer, an electric stove?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. My grandfather in the 1950s had a coal furnace in his basement, and many people did. And when it snowed in Chicago in those days, after about 4 or 5 days, there would be a film of black dust on all the snow from all the coal furnaces. And the young folks probably don't know what spring cleaning was for. Literally, people would wash the inside of all of their walls to take off the coal dust in the spring. But now we have gas, and when you put a gas furnace in a home versus either coal or wood, you reduce the particulates by about a factor of 1,000. So the environmentalists have it exactly wrong. The one fuel source that has done the most to reduce indoor and outdoor pollution globally in the last 50, 60 years has been natural gas. Yeah. It's not wind and solar. But nevertheless, the climatism, the fear of man-made warming, is driving everybody to do kind of crazy things. And that's what Green Breakdown is about.
And, Steve, I think Oak Park has already introduced that ordinance in Oak Park as it relates to electric lines being built in new construction. So it's unfortunate. But
it's just going to raise prices, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at places like California, New York, you look at the grid and not being able to sustain it, then what will this adding this all of this electric, what will that do to our grids then? And personally, I think this is why all these billionaires are building bunkers, because the solar flare is going to come and wipe it all out at some point. But, I mean, what is this going to do to our grid?
Yeah, that is one of the problems with the energy transition. Grid reliability is declining. Let me read you a short quote from Federal Energy Regulatory Commission Commissioner Mark Christie. He testified in front of the Senate this summer. He said, quote, "I think we are headed for very dire consequences, potentially catastrophic consequences in the United States in terms of the reliability of our grid." And he went on to say that we're closing coal-fired power and in some cases natural gas too fast. And these are the things that keep the lights on. And we have had some big blackouts in California and Texas and Oklahoma. They didn't have them this fall, but Texas issued 11 electricity shortage alerts in August and September, and said basically, don't run your air conditioner, don't wash clothes, don't plug in your EV. Yeah. I mean, that's not the way our system ought to work. And it's because we're trying to make a transition to intermittent wind and solar. Again, another big problem with getting to net zero.
Right. You know, when I was in the legislative body, I sat on the Energy Committee here in Illinois, so I'm very familiar. I had three nuclear power plants in my district. I had plastic. I had, you name it. I have natural gas. I had it all in my district. It's one of the largest footprints of energy. What do you think is going to happen as it relates to nuclear power in the future? I know Illinois just signed a bill that will allow us to even begin to talk about building new nuke plants. But where does nuclear power fall in the power structure?
Yeah, actually, the Chicago area is one of the few areas of the country that probably is not at risk of blackouts. We have very good power because we have a pretty high percentage of nuclear. And there's some other areas like Washington where they use a lot of hydropower. But other areas that don't are going to have some problems. Nuclear is good. It's very low emissions. But it does have a cost problem right now. The recent plants that went into Georgia cost $30 billion for two big plants. They're very expensive. We really need cost breakthroughs in nuclear. And part of the issue is all the regulations that they put in place for nuclear power. But right now, gas is much, much cheaper, natural gas, than nuclear. So we need some breakthroughs. We need either small modular plants to be successful or molten salt reactors, those sorts of things. But if we can do that, then nuclear should play a bigger role in the future.
Yeah. Now, the big thing now and the hip thing to do is to be a vegan or a vegetarian. What is the benefit of having a meatless diet?
You're right. The United Nations and others say that 18% of global carbon dioxide emissions come from agriculture. Things like dairy cows that emit methane from both the nose end and the tail end. And so the United Nations wants us to eat insects.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
That works.
Because they're lower emissions and that sort of thing. So I'm thinking about writing a cookbook, the next one, 101 Ways Energy Climate-Saving Dishes, and we'll put cricket casserole on the cover.
Ugh.
But yeah, there's a million things. In Green Breakdown, I have all kinds of color. It's a color book, a lot of sidebars. There was an article published in the New York Times where somebody said to stop global warming, we should all mate with short people.
We all
and
should.
There's a mate with short people.
Oh.
And there was a cosmetic surgeon in California who was taking the tissue from his patients and boiling it down and running his vehicles on it.
Yeah.
He was actually prosecuted for that. You're not supposed to do that sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
There's also a professor in Sweden who advocates eating human flesh to help stop global warming. And he then, after he does his lecture, he polls the audience to see how many would try human flesh.
Okay. Well, but there are just it's a crazy all kinds world of, out there.
There are a lot of crazy things going on.
Steve, right. Steve, what happens? What happens if you know, a lot of these energy companies, especially solar and things of that nature, what happens to these companies if they lose their subsidies? Because you, when you look at it, I mean, I don't take it seriously until they're able to operate on their own and not you know, feed off the government. You know what Sean Thompson would say? I don't use that type of language. But what happens if these companies start losing their government subsidies? Do they fall?
Well, you're right. You're right. We have vast amounts of money, especially from the federal government, going into all these programs. Back during the Obama years, we were spending about $15 billion a year on subsidies for renewables. That went down to $8 billion during President Trump. Now it's up over $20 billion a year, and the Inflation Reduction Act is pushing that up to $40 or $50 billion a year. Jeez. And we have whole industries that are literally being created on government subsidies. This hydrogen fuel thing is entirely a government subsidy. It doesn't make economic sense any other way. We have a battle going on in Illinois and North South Dakota and in Iowa over carbon dioxide capture pipelines. Nobody would build those things if it wasn't for massive amounts of money from the government. So this stuff is has no economic sense. It's all based on the theory of man-made warming. And it is going to come crashing down.
Yeah. Why are you laughing, John
because
Anthony?
I got a question for that. I saw it on YouTube.
You hey, gotta
hey,
hurry
Steve,
up.
Do bugs fart? Could they be leading to the global warming?
Well, cockroaches and many other insects emit vast amounts of methane, too. So
yeah, John.
We need to get rid of them to save the planet.
Thanks, yeah. Paul.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Steve Gorham. The book is Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure. Thank you so much for enlightening us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Amy and John.
Thank you.
Thank you. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Your show keeps me alive during the week. There's nobody I'd rather listen to between 5 and 9 in the morning than you guys.
On AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Monday morning, Amy Jacobson here, John Anthony in for Dan Proft. Thanks
hey.
For being here, partner. Love
Thanks.
It as always.
Yes, having a good time.
And I'm punching you up on the FaceTime.
I see
so I
you.
Can
there
see
we
you.
Go. I got you.
I don't know if you heard, on Friday, there was a letter sent out to members of, you know, to lawmakers, people, you know, our betters, warning them about an unsecure border. And it came from 10 retired FBI agents. And if you read the whole letter, did you read part of it, John?
I read some of it.
And it'll put a chill through your spine. Because we are obviously a soft target, and known terrorists on terror lists have crossed over. And do you remember this guy, Middle Eastern man, entitled, arrogant? His response, because reporters always ask people, you know, de donde eres, where are you from, where are you going? And this was his response.
Wait, if you are smart enough, you would know who I am. But you are really not smart enough to know who I am. But soon you're going to know who I am.
Wow, very easy. The entitlement.
No, believe me, I'm much better than that.
The entitlement, guys. Wow.
And I'm not going to try and pronounce his first name, but
Musvat.
He just, what's his name?
Musvat, I was told.
Musvat. Okay, well, he just got out of jail, spent 12 years in prison. And what did he spend time in jail for, John Anthony?
Yeah, he was basically a terrorist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrorism.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the kind of people that we're letting into this country. And kudos to these 10 FBI agents who warned of what could happen, that we're a soft target. There could be a 10-7 style of attack. And one of the people who signed the letter is former Chicago Police Superintendent Jody Weiss, also retired special agent in charge at the Philadelphia Federal Bureau of Investigations. Good morning, Mr. Weiss. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thank you so much for joining us. How did this letter come together?
You know, the several members of that group, we were talking about this, Mark Morgan, Kevin Brock, Chris Smecker, and myself. We just saw this happening, which none of us have any recollection of this happening like in our lifetimes and in modern truck, said, you know, we should do something about this. And I said, you know, why don't we write a letter? It can't hurt. And I said, let's get some people together. So Kevin was good enough to author the letter with some input from myself, Mark, Chris, and some of the other guys. And we just wanted to put our opinion out that this is, I think, extremely dangerous right now, what we're facing, because there's just so many military-age men that we know nothing about. And it's the unknown, Amy, that, in my opinion, is so dangerous. We have no idea what so many of these individuals are up to, but here they are in the United States. And the person you just shared earlier, how many more are like him? We don't know what they're going to do, but he wants to make sure that we'll know him in the future by doing what? And that's what we don't know.
Yep. And do you fear, though, a 10-7 style attack?
You know, I do, only because of the copycat nature of things. But I'll tell you what I really am afraid of. Back in 2002, I saw where Maryland, the district, and Virginia were literally shut down by two guys who had no terrorism intention whatsoever. They were looking to just commit murder, and actually to hide the murder of the one individual's ex-wife in with the others. But two people in an old car with a cheap rifle shut down Maryland, the district, and Virginia. So just think, if you had operations like that in a dozen cities in the United States, what would that do to our country? It would terrify people. And I was there working that case. People were shutting down. They were afraid to get gas in the cars. Gas stations were putting up tarps to give people at least some concealment. People were running zigzag patterns to go to grocery stores. And it was shocking what those two individuals did, and it was because of the randomness of their attack. So when I saw that firsthand, I'm looking at these individuals. What is it, 1.8 million gotaways? We have no idea what they're up to, and that's what frightens me. And, of course, duplicating October 7th, think of all the great events that Chicago has. Any one of those could be a target like that. And, again, we just don't know.
That's true. Hey, how you doing, sir? You know, when you look at this invasion that's happening in our country, and then you see a lot of places, especially I'll speak specifically to Illinois, that are going after your 2A, your gun rights. I mean, at a time when we are setting up people coming in our country, invading us, why do you think they're going after our Second Amendment right, basically making people who are law-abiding citizens in this state specifically to make them criminals to not defend their homeland against something like this invasion we see? And I got a J6 question with the FBI I want to ask you after that question.
Okay, well, you know what? It just seems to be a lot of people on the left that think that taking weapons away from law-abiding citizens is going to keep everybody safe. That nothing could be farther from the truth. What you need to do is keep guns out of the hands of people that can harm themselves or harm others. And there are ways to do that. Could we do a much better job? Of course. But focusing on the weapon, you know, that's really, I think that's really misguided. We have people that should never have been able to purchase a weapon at a certain time. Those are the people we need to focus on. Let's put processes in place that would keep that from happening, because there are some people, I'm a huge Second Amendment fan, but there are people who should not be armed for whatever reason at that time, and they're a threat to themselves as well as to the community.
Yeah, and when you served in the FBI, when you look at what they've, I believe they've fallen from grace, how they came after President Trump. And now we're learning that might have been assets from the FBI, which is normal. That's what happens to any police. I'm a former cop myself. So I know sometimes we would dress up and go into parties and things of that nature just to make sure things didn't get out of hand. But when you look at it, when the FBI director, Christopher Wray, basically said he lied, basically. What has become of the Federal Bureau of Investigations? And what should we do to fix the issues that are at hand with it?
John, that is a question. I mean, thank you for asking it, but that is a question a lot of our retired guys and gals ask ourselves every day. I think the Bureau has really lost its way. When I see some of the things that they've done, we would never have done something like that. And you raised a good point. You look at January 6th. When the director refuses to admit that there's any resources that might have been in the crowd. We did, when I was superintendent of Chicago Police Department at the TASE, we put a lot of undercover officers in with the crowd to try to determine if there were anything bad going on and to get the instigators out right away.
Yep.
And it's a common tactic. So it begs the question, why can't you say that? And they hide behind this nonsense, I think, of, well, sources and methods, and these are informants. All you want to know, I think the American public deserves an answer, like, did you have resources?
Like Ray Epps. Who is Ray Epps?
If you had him there, why did this get so out of control? You look at the, there's so many questions that need to be answered. I watch it every time I see those tapes, John. I see that short cop opening the barricades and waving people in. Now, who would do that?
Yeah.
There might be a legitimate reason. I can't think of one, but I'd love to ask him, like, say, hey, why did you do that, my brother? Because it makes no sense to open the barricades and wave people in. So there's just a lot of questions I think the American public certainly has a right to know, and I think demand to know from what I used to consider the premier law enforcement agency in the world.
I agree. Sadly,
after 23 years, I don't consider that anymore.
Wow.
Well, how do you get your reputation back?
Hard work, Amy. You just got to go in. I think there's got to be a massive changeover in personnel. I think it's got to be very vocal. I was disappointed with Christopher Wray. I thought Comey was a disaster. I thought Christopher Wray had a great opportunity to come in and just clean house, change things, be very vocal, tell the American people what he's doing every day to start restoring that trust and confidence. Sadly, he's just falling into the bureaucratic trap of just, you know, answering as little as he can and just sitting back, and that's disappointing. It's going to take a real leader to, I think, bring the FBI back to the prominence that it had years ago. It's going to be quite a task.
So let's go back to the border issue. Two questions. What do you think of what Governor Abbott is doing? He's holding the line. And also, what keeps you up at night?
Good question.
Well, I really like Governor Abbott's position. I mean, he sadly is trying to do the job that the U.S. government is refusing to do. And I admire his resolve. I admire his creativity to try to use the National Guard and other measures to try to keep his state safe. He has an obligation to do that. And it's a sad day when he's doing it simply because the federal government is not doing their job in enforcing laws that are already on the books. There doesn't need to be any new laws passed. Just do your job. Enforce the laws. That is what keeps me up at night. I keep going back to what I shared earlier, that those small two-man teams operating in multiple cities. You know, we first saw that in Mumbai years and years ago, and we saw it in D.C. And you just look at that when you see it firsthand, the terror that caused. And let's keep in mind, those guys had no intent to cause terror. They had no intent to cause social or political change. They just wanted to kill one individual's ex-wife and hide it amongst the other murders. But the randomness of that, we have there over 400 law enforcement people there. We just kept thinking, what if this was happening in multiple cities? How would we respond to it? And thank God it was just in that city. But if you went there with the intent to cause terror and havoc and chaos in multiple cities at once, I think it would overload the law enforcement, and it would just, I think it could shut this country down. So that's what I worry about every day. And I'm not a worrier, but I do worry about that just because of the effectiveness that we saw firsthand in the district in Maryland, Virginia.
Yeah. I want to take you back to Chicago. As your former superintendent, we all know that really you don't really get to make a lot of your own decisions because the fifth floor makes a lot of those decisions in Chicago. But how would you have handled the pedestrians in the walk in the roadway just completely shutting down traffic? I mean, they basically shut down the city in some certain areas when they do this. How would you have handled this as superintendent?
Well, personally, I think I've gotten some very clear direction from then Mayor Daley to make sure these streets are open. I worry about that whenever I see it, John and Amy, because what if somebody has to get to the hospital?
Yeah.
Right away?
Oh, I know. And they're shutting down Lakeshore Drive in both directions for 2.5 hours.
Insane.
And people had to go to work, people to go to weddings, people to go to funerals, people had to go to the hospital.
Yep.
And the cops just sat there. The Chicago cops sat there. I was losing my mind.
That is so dangerous because at some point people like yourself are going to get so frustrated. Then you're going to have people start taking matters in their own hand, and then people are really going to start to get hurt.
Yep.
So this is when the cops are going to have to step up, look at ways, you know, try to get some intelligence, who's directing this, and you got to shut this down. And they're going to have to be aggressive. And, you know, you can't allow these soft targets to be. But shutting down roadways like Lakeshore Drive, that's insane in both directions. Totally unacceptable. And you got to fix that.
Yeah, well, we had our own – they had their own photo op with it with Superintendent Johnson, so – I mean,
oh God! And then they shut down. They shut down I-90 to O'Hare Airport when kids, college kids, were coming home. People are all flying in for Christmas, and that was running up the hill, Mr. Weiss, with a Hamas flag. I thought, oh my God! And then they just let them stay there.
Yeah, with the DNC convention coming up, I'm afraid of what we're really. I don't think they've really unleashed their plans. And when I say that, I mean the leftists. I really don't think they unleashed the plans of what they really want to are going to do in the DNC convention in 2020.
Yeah, like how would you prepare for the DNC now for August if you were still superintendent?
Well, it's going to take everybody working together in a cohesive thing. They'd be starting right now looking at, you know, intelligence, try to find what's going on, keep looking, asking the questions, what's the threat, what's the threat? And it's just for a moment, I got to touch on the point. How shocking it is to you, as it is to me, that we have people in the United States that are celebrating and protesting for a terrorist group that caused such carnage on 10/7. How is that even possible that we're celebrating a terrorist group? I look at that as like, where has our country gone? Because that stuns me every day. Everybody I speak with is like, how did this happen? How do we recognize and protest for a group of people that killed, raped innocent civilians? I keep looking at that footage where these guys are coming on the hang gliders and just murdering and raping all those young students just enjoying time out at a concert. How do you celebrate someone like that? What is wrong with us?
Well, evil.
There's a lot wrong. And then kids, I mean, I don't know if you heard about the double shooting in front of Innovations High School on Wabash on Friday. 2:45 in the afternoon, they get out. Assassination attempt. They were not an attempt. They assassinated them. 27 bullet casings. They're still on the loose. They haven't found them, which I don't understand. It's crowded. But it's just... And you know what everybody did, Mr. Weiss? Instead of applying pressure or CPR, they shot videos of it for their TikToks.
Yep. Yeah.
And the kid was dying. His eyes are open. His mouth is open. Where was the humanity? I wanted somebody to hold him and just be with him as he transitioned, let him know that he's loved. And we have forgotten how to be human beings with all this technology and then just lack of respect for police.
Agree on all counts. But something like that is just horrifying. Think how that young man felt, you know, and people around videotaping as you're dying. You know, couldn't somebody have gone and offered him some comfort? Great point and very sad. Another testament to how I think the society needs to reset and come back to, I think, where we look at each other as humans and not as potential clickbait for our social media apps.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And where can people find the letter? We'll tweet out the letter that you and 9 other retired FBI agents wrote, because it's really, it's good. I mean, I read it twice, and I'm telling you, it sent a chill up my spine. So thank you so much for all the work that you do. Thank you for joining us this morning. We look forward to having you on sometime in the near future.
Anytime, Amy. John, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Jody Weiss, former superintendent and former special agent, retired at the Philadelphia agency for the FBI. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook, or read about it in the paper, hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
All right, good Monday morning. Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony.
Hey, hey.
In for Dan Proff. Dun, dun, dun. Did you watch the game last night?
I did. I watched the first one, and then the second one I watched it up until halftime.
Okay. Well, guess what? Guess who won?
Oh, yeah. I know.
San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And here's their quarterback thanking the man up high, and they didn't bleep it out.
You just led one of the biggest comebacks, the NFC Championship game history. What was the key to the amazing comeback?
Man, first of all, glory to God. He's given us this opportunity, man. And for us, it's a team sport. You know, we knew we had a half left. Defense did their job. The boys on offense took care of business. Coach called a great game. And we had the faithful behind us the whole way, so we love you guys.
Yeah, good. He said glory to God, and they didn't bleep him out.
Well, this was Fox. That wasn't that in like a CBS too?
No, that was NBC.
Oh, CJ Stroud.
NBC. Yeah. But good, fine. They came back from a 17-point deficit. Blah, 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 and beat our Tigers.
Whatever.
What do you mean, whatever?
I wanted the Lions.
I know, so did I.
I wanted the Lions-Ravens Super Bowl. I mean, 6 straight Super Bowls, right? For KC, is it 6 straight they've been to?
All I know is they won the Super Bowl in 2020 and saved lives, okay? Because the governor of San Francisco said, thank God they won, because if not, we would have had a championship parade and people would have died from COVID. Such a crazy world we live in. But, you know, I'll tell you something that made me fall off my chair this weekend.
What's that?
a tweet I read from Jamal Green. Mm-hmm. While I disagree with Governor Abbott on fundamentally most issues, what he's done at the border right now, standing up to the president and his busing of migrants to Democratic cities, is the most genius plan that's obviously working, whether you're a Republican or Democrat. So to further explain himself and this tweet, we welcome our good friend Jamal Green back to the program. Good morning, Mr. Green. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys? And I wanted a Ravens-Lions Super Bowl. It was a bad day for us.
Come on.
I know. And if they show one more cutaway shot of Taylor Swift, I might tear my spleen out with a rusty spoon.
Who's raised $300 million, though, by the way?
Right. Wait. What did you say?
Being there, they said the economy, she's being able to bring over $300 million to the Chiefs in some way, some shape, some form, some fashion.
And to the NFL.
And to the NFL.
I know. Sure. I was listening to chatter online, you guys, about how this is really just fake to take over the NFL and all. I don't know. It's goofy. Goofy stuff. But anyway, let's go back to your tweet, Jamal. Yes. Okay, what's going on? Are you okay?
I'm very okay. I think that, I'm independent and I've always been an independent thinker as well. And I think that I have watched this fight this fight on the border from the Democrats and Republicans for many months. I'm calling it what it is. And I think that what Governor Abbott has done is working in their favor. The migrants have come across the border on into Texas, and instead of taking care of all the migrants, which you don't want to do while he's asking for border control, he says, all right, well, get on some buses and I'm going to send you all to the places that do want to take care of you. It was a genius plan. And the Democrats, all they could do is sit back and say, he's human trafficking. No, well, these people came across the border and they were given an option to go somewhere else. I think they have not had a good strategy to combat this crisis, and the border is still not controlled. And now with what's going on at the border, with Governor Abbott saying, all right, we're going to stand up and we are going to defy what Joe Biden is saying and his federal officers to make sure that we protect the border and gathering, many states to help them. I mean, hey, I would love to see Democrat leaders stand up for their leaders just as good as Governor. I mean, stand up for their constituents like Governor Abbott is doing. So I'm just calling it what it is. And I think that what he's been doing is a good feat here.
Well, what do you think about Mayor Johnson? I mean, he is not begging, but he's telling Governor Pritzker, find other places for shelters.
Shelters do not have to solely be set up and built in the city of Chicago. The state can do it wherever they want.
What do you think about that? I mean, should we spread the pain throughout the state?
No. I think, listen, Governor Pritzker has he has opened up lots of money for the city, spending whatever $700 million. He has opened up a pot of money of grants for cities who do want to take migrants across the state. They said no. They said the money isn't worth it. So for Pritzker to look at the rest of the cities in the state that don't want migrants and try to set up a shelter, I think, that wouldn't be good for the governor to step in and do. Brandon Johnson is just mad because he can't lead this crisis. And the reality is that he never should have been the leader in the first place. I've been on brand for many years. And, I wouldn't have hired him to do anything even close to running a major city. But we're here now. Right. And I think the teachers union and all organizations, they got what they want, except a lot of people weren't able to see the type of tragedy that it was going to be with having him lead the third largest city, especially with a crisis like this. Right. We're saying all of the folks that have been saying, hey, I said from the beginning, you need to put a cap and stop the flow of migrants, stop this PR play, and just be honest and say, look, we can't take them. Joe Biden, this is your issue. And at every moment, he has stepped up and barely said anything, first of all. And if he did say something, he just spinned and basically said, we're going to welcome them. So the migrants kept coming. He didn't have a plan. And then 25,000 migrants later, he's like, oh, well, now we're going to do 60-day shelter. You know, I mean, it's just been a travesty watching what's happened here. And it's highly unfortunate. We've had the pro-migrant response by saying that
right.
because, you know, that's pro-migrant saying put a cap and stop the load. Because now all the migrants get here, you can't even take care of them.
That's
so
true.
How pro-migrant are you that they're in here dying in shelters and filling up the hospitals with diseases? Let's be serious here.
Now, Jamal, you enunciate your name Jamal, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, Jamal.
Thank you. I'll aim you later.
No,
sorry,
I got
it now, Jamal.
No, okay. I've been following you for quite some time, even when I was a state rep, the only black Republican serving in the General Assembly. I've been following you since then, but you called this with Brandon Johnson even when you were running for mayor this last time.
Yes, I did.
But that's not my question. When was your aha moment? Because I remember when you first started, you, Lamone, and what was the pastor, Jedediah. I remember when you guys first started, man, I wanted to choke you guys sometimes.
John.
No, hey, I'm just being honest.
It's a friendly show, really.
No, because I thought they were getting paid to do a lot of the stuff they do. But what was your aha moment, like, to say, wait a minute, something ain't right. We continue to push these Democrats. They're not doing anything in our communities. And each year, right around election time, they're coming at us to say, we need your help. When was that aha moment, that light bulb moment where you said, this got to change?
Right. Well, you know, I'll say my aha moment, you know, definitely happened early with Rahm Emanuel, right? And I think during that time we were kind of hitting the pavement. We were younger and not as understanding of the political spectrum and the state. All we knew is we hate Rahm Emanuel, right, at that time. So, you know, leading the movements there and then really watching how the Democrats as well as the unions, I mean, Brandon Johnson and the teachers union, they're all in place because of what we were doing in the streets. You know,
yeah.
they were riding our coattails and building their political power while we were leading all of the protests in the streets.
Yep.
And we didn't know what their agenda was, you know what I'm saying, at the time. We just thought, oh, well, they just support, a Laquan McDonald's family, or they just support the movement, when really we're just riding the wave, trying to get the support for the agenda that they already been had in place for many years. And so the aha moment was kind of those fights and really watching it firsthand, and watching how they never supported us in anything, but they always wanted to find a way to ride our wave, and really just being in those rooms, really watching how these Democratic politicians have played all these years. It's been one to watch, and especially when you're close to it.
Yeah.
So definitely at aha moment many times during that time.
Hey, is it okay if I get your number for Amy? I love, because I host a show on this every Saturday called Black and Right, and I would love
to
have
lunch.
You come in on the show.
Hey, Jamal, let me ask you this. Are you going to be voting for President Trump?
Mm-mm.
Former President Trump in November.
Hey. Woo,
I mean, has this issue, the immigration issue, push you? Well, but you know what, though? We've already spent $1 billion, and if you're stressed about your grocery bill, Chicago just awarded contracts to two firms for over $100 million of taxpayer money to feed illegal migrants.
Yep. Let me say this. I will not be voting for Joe Biden. I'm clear on that. I think that we can't support. My thing with the Democrats and my problem with them, because I'm independent, so you know you may not know where I'll go until I kind of figure it out. But one thing I do know is I do know who I'm not going to vote for, because the Democrats and how they have constantly played. This election, previous elections, people are tired of it, mm-hmm. right? And Joe Biden, he barely knows where he is half the time.
Right.
And, you know, I think we really have to stop with this, the Democrats and what they're doing, and really just stumping on the next generation of leaders and stumping on the next generation of policies and policymakers. And, you know, the establishment wants to do what they want to do. And that's not that doesn't work well for many folks in the Democratic Party or people who will want to lean over to the Democratic Party. So I don't fear Trump. Right. And I think their problem is that they're going to have in this election is that, one, they're losing a lot of people in the party for many reasons. Right. We can talk about Gaza. Right. A lot of Palestinians and all of the folks who support Gaza, they've lost them. We can talk about young people when it comes to student loan debt or minimum wage that never got introduced. So we can talk about, you know, it's just a whole bunch of different issues that he promised people where a lot of people are like, no, because he didn't do this for me, or I didn't feel like he fought for me, right? So now he lost those people, and then those people are now saying, well, I don't fear Trump, because all y'all going to say is, hey, don't vote. Hey, vote for me because you don't want Trump. That's not going to work anymore. So I'm interested to see what happens. I would love to see Joe Biden get subbed out for someone else. I don't want to see him as the nominee ever again. But, you know, I won't be voting for him if he is the nominee. And that's
all right. All right, Jamal Green, loved having you on. You can follow him on Twitter at Jamal, J-A-Y-M-A-L Green, neighborhood advocate, and generationalgreen.com is the website. Thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you.
I'll be reaching out.
Yep.
All right.
Have a blessed day. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Connect with Dan and Amy on the AM 560 The Answer mobile app. Just text the word app to 64636 to download the app today.
All right. I've been waiting to do this story because I find this story very fascinating.
Oh, God.
There's a big brouhaha going on in my neighborhood in Roscoe Village about this rat. It's an imprint of a rat in the cement. Why are you rolling your head? Because you know it's not a rat, it's a squirrel.
Correct.
It's just a squirrel trying to get a nut.
Oh,
remember that song?
Yes.
Don't touch that nut. So people are doing crazy things because people don't have God in their lives.
Social media.
A shrine there. People are throwing money down. There's condoms there. There was a wedding proposal there. And you ready for this?
What?
There was a marriage.
All white people.
You get married.
You white
just
people.
Kiss
I wish I had something for you right now, but Oh, there's Malort. You have to do Malort.
White.
They're doing
people.
Shots of Malort.
White people are something else.
Let the white people enjoy their soul. It was a white gay couple. Yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
I bet you ain't a brother there. It's like,
no.
The way it's no, like
I don't know the
I
racial
guarantee.
Makeup of those who go and visit the rat hole.
There ain't no brothers
but
there.
Guess how long this
we grew up with rats. They were our best friends, Ben.
Okay, Michael Jackson. Yeah, didn't he write a song about his pet rat and
Ben,
his home?
Baby.
And
Ben.
Guess how long the rat hole's been there, which is really a squirrel.
How long? Very long time.
20 plus years. And some comedian decided to tweet out about it, and it became viral, now people are visiting, and neighbors say they have had a total loss of privacy, especially for the ground floor tenants there. And there's even talk about filling in the hole. Do you think they should fill in the hole, John Anthony? Is the party over? Have they overstepped their boundaries?
I mean,
you saw a picture of it, right?
The people for the rat squirrel hole are gonna form a union to protect it.
there's
gonna be a union coming up.
Someone left a bottle of alcohol, a container of Tums.
That's gone.
A Chipotle gift card. Why? Birthday beads. Sure, they were. Money, mini traffic cones. I mean, there's different shrines all the time. But guess who is doing well because of this rat business?
Who's that?
owners of a bar.
Oh.
Four Moon Tavern, which is at 1847 West Roscoe, said, the rat hole has been really good for business. Quote, on Saturday, about half of our business was people who came to the rat hole and came in for a drink afterwards.
They had to take a drink after that.
We're getting business from the rat hole, which is absurd. So he knows it's absurd because this guy, Matt Kalowski, who owns it, he said that thing has been in the neighborhood for 25 years.
Oh, my goodness.
But, hey, if it brings in business, I'm all for it.
He's going to protect that hole. Watch.
You think so?
I guarantee you.
This is why I love this guy. He said, well, it's not going to last forever. Pretty soon, someone's dog is going to look like Abraham Lincoln, and we're all going to pay attention to that. Weird stuff happens. I can't explain it. So this is just the new craze, and hopefully in a week there'll be something else.
Yeah. Hey, Amy. No? Amy.
Yes, sir.
We were from this bugs fart to flatulence, I should say, to rat holes.
Been a busy day.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook, or read about it in the paper, hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.